Welcome back to our podcast,
Chronically Iconic Mistakes.
I'm your host, Jocelyn.
And your co-host, Raya.
Before we begin today's episode, I'd like to let our listeners know that this case is one of the most iconic hate crimes against the LGBTQ community. And it's a very sensitive subject, so if you aren't up for that, we get it, and we'll see you next time. For those of you that are still with us, it is Pride Month. I think this case is a really good one to talk about. I mean, it's one of the most iconic hate crimes. Why shouldn't we get the word out there?
Yeah, spread the word and be safe this Pride Month.
Yeah, I mean, this is a case that remains unsolved to this day. And honestly, this stuff is still going on. So let's fucking talk about it.
Let's do it.
On May of 1996, couple Julie Williams and Lolly Winans went on a hiking trip to celebrate Julie's recent success in securing a new job after graduating college with honors in geology from a university in Europe. Beyond her honors, she was very sporty, so it was no surprise that Julie wanted to celebrate by hiking, and ultimately, nature is what brought this couple together.
I already hate this.
Julie had met her partner Lolly at a nonprofit organization in Minnesota. And that organization kind of connected the dots between education and travel for women. Specifically, this organization was called Woodswoman, and it focused on the safety of women traveling. And I mean, like, I guess at this time there was another organization named Outward Bound, which was known to have a poor experience for women. Now, I couldn't find much information on that claim, but when I did Google the organization, I did kind of have a laugh at their women's equality article, where they literally interview a man on the experience of training women for leadership. Overall, the article really gave me, like, hey, we're not saying we're sorry, but, like, we did do something wrong vibes.
Yeah, that's basically not how to do that.
Yeah, I'm gonna say it, like, if you're gonna do a, like, hey, woman equality shit, you probably shouldn't interview a fucking man for it. But, like, that's just me.
Yeah, and interviewing a man on training women.
Like, it's super concerning. Yeah. Especially because these are, like, younger women in the article.
Ugh.
Kind of sounds like grooming to me. Maybe don't do that angle.
Well, it was probably, like, normal, too, back then to just, like, do this type of shit.
Yeah, at the time, I'm sure it was, but this article was recent.
Oh, are you serious?
Yeah, like, they're still an organization, and they are in the UK. And it's actually surprising to me, because when I think of the UK, I think of, like, progression. Like, they're ahead of us with this stuff, and yet there it is, still, to this day, a thing. And, I mean, this This organization was important to Julie and Lolly, as they both were sexual assault survivors. And that can put a lot of fear into enjoying the outdoors. I mean, statistically, women are already less likely to be outdoors than men. And when you look at the threats we face when we do go outside, it's kind of no wonder why so many of us kind of like shy away from outdoor activities like hiking. Yet, for so many marginalized groups, hiking is exactly how they find a place to unwind far away from the crowd.
Yeah, and I really wish that like hiking and activities like that were safer. Like, it's ridiculous.
They really should be. I mean, in general, public should not be as dangerous as it is for women, but whatever. Despite their very different backgrounds, their love for the outdoors was enough to fuel their passion for one another. Her partner, Lolly, was known as someone who just enjoyed having a good time, so long as it included microbrews and being outside. Despite coming from a wealthy family, Lolly walked away from her riches of her family and enrolled in a college before dropping out and re-enrolling again in Maine. Her goal was to bring the love of the outdoors to anyone who would listen, and she began studying to be a wilderness guide. Which, like, I didn't know you could study to be a wilderness guide. That's actually kind of cool.
That is cool. I thought they just, like, kind of became, I don't know.
Yeah, I thought it was just, like, on the job, luck of the draw kind of thing.
But that would make sense because being in the wilderness is, like, kind of dangerous anyway. You can run into a lot of shit, so.
Yeah, and, like, guides are supposed to be able to tell you about, like, the nature you're seeing. So, yeah, it totally does make sense. As the two ventured out to hike in Shenandoah National Park with their golden retriever, Taj, They had no idea that this would be their last opportunity to feel the sun on their face and the wind in their hair as they spent days hiking in the wilderness together. After hiking White Oak Canyon Trail, rain hit and the couple quickly returned to hitch a ride with a park ranger in order to renew their camping permit before heading back onto the trail to hike Hawksbill. Hawksbill is the highest peak in Shenanigans National Park, and I imagine that the hike was everything they were looking for, raw nature and beautiful views after a challenging hike. I can only hope that they made the entire hike and enjoyed their final moments together. But I can't say for sure what happened to the couple that day. What I do know is that Julie and Lolly never returned home on May 28th, and when Julie's father didn't receive a check-in call, he became very worried. He didn't report them missing until the 31st, but I can't say that I really blame him. I mean, Julie and Lolly were experienced hikers, and it isn't uncommon for essentially a backpacking trip to be extended. I mean, small things can go wrong and they slow you down, or you just needed some more time than you originally planned.
Yeah, I feel like we hear this all the time where, like, they didn't report them missing right away just because something might have happened.
Yeah, and I mean, like, it makes sense. Like, that's totally a thing. But honestly, like, if I go missing on the trail, the day you think I'm supposed to be back, you better fucking call because I'm probably,
yeah,
probably missing.
Honestly. Bro. Well, the thing is like, when it's not normal for your, like, anybody, if it's not normal for them to not check in or whatever,
exactly, just call. Yeah, just fucking call.
There's no harm in just making sure.
Yeah, and I mean, it's even harder too, because at this time frame, I don't know how, like, accessible a phone call is and stuff either.
Yeah, that is true.
But still, like, yeah, just call. The search began for Julie and Lolly immediately, and their bodies were found by their campsite near Skyland Resort in Shenanigans National Park. And I'm pretty sure I'm butchering that every time. Just deal with it, guys.
She said it right the first time, and that's all that matters.
Okay, that's all you need. That's it. Unfortunately, their bodies were found next to a creek. The couple were found nude, bound, and gagged. Their throats had been slashed, and there were signs of sexual assault.
Ugh, fuck.
Unfortunately, this was peak tourist season, and as we have seen in so many cases, tourism was more important than the case. The National Park Service took their time with the investigation to ensure they wouldn't scare off any visitors, and to make matters worse, the FBI took over the case. The National Park Service is actually trained in a similar manner as the FBI and is arguably actually more capable of solving backcountry murders than the FBI is. And that's because they're just more familiar with the fucking environment.
It's just really sad that tourism is more important than people fucking dying. Like,
it is. And it's like, so many times we've seen this. I mean, like, the dingo ate my baby case.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the whole thing was based around tourism. They literally put this mother in fucking prison because of tourism. She didn't even do it.
We've literally been doing this podcast for less than a year, and we've already had two very similar stories.
Yeah, it's just, it's absolutely insane how much they value tourism. And for some reason, it's okay for more people to die. Like, you're literally letting these people come into a park with a known killer.
I feel like it would cost less money and time if they just made their park safer so tourists would want to come.
And you're literally losing evidence every day. This is an outdoor scenario.
Yeah, and if people catch wind that there's a killer, like, you're fucked.
Exactly. Like, it's absolutely insane that this even happens. And there was something that I actually did learn that I did not know about prior to researching this case. And that it's absolutely the worst place to be murdered. Like, national parks make it very difficult for them to investigate. And, I mean, that's because nature just hinders the investigation. I mean, this information is a big piece of the puzzle on just why there are so many unsolved disappearances and murders that remain unsolved today within parks. In fact, a staggering 1,600 people potentially go missing in national parks each year. And I say potentially because the federal government actually doesn't even track missing individuals within these parks, which is really concerning because we know that that's going to attract murderers. They're literally looking for places to get away with shit.
honestly, it's becoming a pandemic on how many people are fucking dying in national parks. And
it is. And you totally did like a great podcast on this already, but like it's just
a great podcast where we talk about fairies.
I mean, that was great. But it's true. Like, it's a huge concern because if we're not paying enough attention to it, it's just going to get worse.
Yeah. And it's really sus that the government doesn't track these people. Like, why not?
It is. When I looked into why not, because I was asking the same question, and it's a really good question, like, why aren't we tracking this? And it actually comes down to how complicated it is to employ rangers. And that's because the rangers actually bounce between national parks quite frequently. I mean, I don't blame them. Like, if I was a ranger, I would want to see each park too.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really difficult to train them, and each park has their own, like, rules and stuff and how to do things. And so there just really isn't, like, a set in stone way to report these missing people.
I feel like that is just really shitty and needs to change. Like, I get...
Well, and it's totally fixable. Yeah. Like, they really could just all come up with one uniform way to, you know, submit these missing people. That way we can keep track of it. So there's really no excuse.
Lazy butts.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, there are more challenges for the FBI when they have to investigate a national park. It really comes down to how they are trained. FBI agents have it, like, drilled into them that they must immediately secure the area and figure out the size of the area where the crime scene took place. And that's nearly impossible to do in a national park because there are so many variables to be accounted for. You don't know if anything has been moved, if that location is really where everything went down, and not to mention securing the area is a little more complicated. I mean, so many hikers still just hike a closed trail, even if that means facing the elements or dangerous wildlife. Not to mention, this case is happening in a time where forensics are absolute shit.
Mm-hmm.
What is absolutely devastating about this case is that the evidence was all right there, and we just didn't have the technology to use it in this case. Like, there was DNA found on a gag, and hairs found at a crime scene, and testing all came up inconclusive.
Oh, so basically they had everything they needed and our fucking shit was just shit, basically.
Yeah, I mean, the tech just wasn't there. Like, they couldn't really do anything with evidence. They tried. It just wasn't a reliable thing at the time.
Ugh, that's frustrating.
Yeah, I'm sure the investigators were at wit's end. At least the National Park Service was. They were very committed, whereas the FBI was very shoddy. So the National Park Service and the FBI were essentially working off of absolutely nothing. And because they took their sweet time going public and investigating, the trial grew even colder. Until 1 year later, a man named Daryl Rice was arrested for attempting to abduct a bicyclist. And wouldn't you know it, the incident happened on Skyline Drive, just where the woman had been murdered.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, I'm not even surprised that the FBI fucking just sucks. So hopefully this Daryl Rice is gonna be caught.
Well, kinda. But, like, there are so many cases where the FBI has completely dropped the fucking ball. And we're even talking about nowadays. I mean, the internet basically solved Gabby Petito for them.
Mm-hmm.
It really sucks when the FBI takes over. And, like, that's disappointing because we should have more confidence in them. That's, like, the whole point of them.
Yeah, they go through, like, extensive training, too. So this shouldn't be, like, a thing we're struggling with.
Yeah, absolutely not. And, I mean, the FBI was totally confident that they had their killer. And after 5 years of pushing their narrative, Daryl Rice was indicated for the murders of Julie and Lolly. There was just one problem.
I don't get why they just were like, ah, oh, he did it. Like, they didn't even run the forensics.
Yeah, that's the funny part about it, right? So we didn't rerun the forensics yet?
Yeah, like, how do you know?
See, that's the thing. They didn't know because they were wrong.
They just wanted to catch somebody for exactly. It and go back to normal.
And it wasn't even remotely believable that Daryl was capable of a double homicide based on his abduction attempt. And I mean, the judge and the jury just weren't fucking buying it. I don't think they were wrong, honestly. Daryl had literally, like, pulled over towards a bicyclist, and when she put up, like, the smallest fight, he became so disheveled that she was just able to, like, run away. All she did was throw a fucking soda can at him. It completely de-escalated the situation, and that doesn't fucking scream serial killer vibes to me.
Also, how do you go to trial with just, like, no evidence?
And they really
like,
did.
I don't under...
Like, all...
Honestly.
All they fucking had was this chick being like, yeah, bro, I threw a soda can at his fucking head and ran away. And, like, that's good.
And they were just like, let's escalate this.
I'm glad she's good and, like, you know, he's going to court. But it doesn't line up with murdering people. It just doesn't, like, if it was that easy to get away from this guy, you're telling me that these two women... who are, like, badass backcountry fucking hiking for days, didn't try to throw a soda at him?
Yeah. That,
at least.
I would literally, like, laugh. Like, the FBI should be really ashamed.
Yeah, they absolutely should have. And, I mean, we see these in cases all the time, too, where the FBI or the police or whatever just create a narrative because they're just so convinced that this is the case when, like, it's so clearly not.
And, honestly, they just want it over. Like, they don't... Some of the times they don't even care who's convicted.
Exactly. They just want to be done with the case. And I mean, like I said, they were correct because in 2004, the charges were dropped when they were forced to retest the DNA from the crime scene. And it proved that Daryl was not involved. However, he was guilty of being a piece of fucking shit because you shouldn't attempt to abduct anyone in the first place.
Good thing he was like a really bad kidnapper.
Yeah, no shit. And, like, I don't know if he did any time or anything. I couldn't find anything on it. I'm sure that he did get in trouble for the crime he actually committed.
It was probably from, like, 96 to 2004 when the charges were dropped.
Yeah, it was something about that time. Because, I mean, they retested it in 2004.
Mm-hmm.
The FBI is back to square one, and this case remains unsolved to this day. But I did want to share a popular theory that very well could have been what happened to the couple that night. At the time period that couple was brutally murdered, a man named Richard Ivanitz committed an act so terrible that when it was solved, the county sheriff made the announcement in tears. In 1996, Sophia Silvia was abducted in broad daylight after taking her homework to the front porch. Immediately, the family reported her missing, and the search went on for 5 long weeks before finding her body in a shallow pond. Only 7 months later, 2 teenage girls named Kristen and Katie Lisk had been abducted from their front lawn, leaving behind only a book bag. After searching for 5 long days, both their bodies were found floating in the Anna River. This case was handled, like, far differently than the case of Julie and Lolly, and... I mean, I believe that's due to the task force assigned and the age of the victims more than anything. I mean, they were teenage girls. While the FBI may have dropped the ball, I do know that the National Park Service was very committed to their case, only to have it taken over by the FBI, who just, I mean, they weren't equipped. Like, the FBI really should just back away from those cases.
They definitely should, and I honestly don't even know what the FBI does at this point. They just take on any random shit.
Yeah, they're very, like, strange about what cases they take on. I really don't know what's up with that.
Yeah, and I want to know, like, what's the indicator where they're like, yeah, we're gonna take this on.
Yeah, like, let's fucking jump in here, bro. Like, fuck off. The task force for the slaying of the 3 teenagers was fierce, and they chased over 12,000 tips and did 10,000 examinations. They even ran DNA from animal and human hairs, from fibers and tire treads against 1.3 million samples from law enforcement databases. Not to mention, they ran the evidence against 45,000 unsolved cases. And, like, this is the fucking energy we're talking about. Like, come on.
It must be so hard for the family to just see how much energy is being put towards these teenage girls, and Julie and Lolly didn't have that same energy.
The sad part about this is, like, they might not have even known about this case, maybe. Just because, like, they might have known about it, but they didn't know it was linked, because this is a relatively new theory.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't even get to the reason why it's linked.
Yeah, exactly. And there really isn't a reason why, I'm just gonna be honest. Like, this is just up a theory. There's no evidence that ever links this theory. It's something that happened around the same time, and he did have a lot of victims.
Oh, okay.
But we're gonna talk about why we just don't know. Despite all of their hard work, it was not what solved the case. There was a girl who got away from the serial killer. In June, a man pretending to be a magazine salesman forced a girl into a plastic container in the back of his car before taking him to his apartment where he handcuffed her with fuzzy cuffs. The unnamed teenager was repeatedly raped and forced to call him daddy before he fell asleep. Once the girl heard him snoring, she was able to escape and run into a parking lot. Thankfully, two unnamed men took her to the police station immediately for help.
Man, that's fucking hard, especially, like, and then she gets away and she, like, finds these two unnamed men.
Oh my god, can you imagine? Like, you probably don't even want to talk to other fucking men after
that.
Yeah,
like, you don't know, and then at least they got her help, but...
Yeah, dude, like, and I don't know if there's more details than this. This is all I had, like, the capacity to fucking write on this because it's so fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't even think I'd want to take on this case any more than I already did just because, like...
Yeah, that is, I mean, that's hard to hear.
Yeah. It's a lot. Unfortunately, justice never fully came. Police immediately got to work and were able to match the fuzz from the handcuffs to the fuzz found on the three missing girls, and they were able to confirm that one resident, Richard Evonditz, had lived at the apartment building during the time of the three girls' disappearances as well.
That's some crazy shit, though.
Dude, isn't that fucked up?
Like, they matched a fuzz from a handcuff?
Okay, so I had a lot of just, like, questions. Like, how do you know it's the same one? Like, they're all the same material.
I feel like they'd probably match it to, like, a store or something and see who bought the handcuffs.
I'm sure there's a way, but it's just so bizarre that that's, like, the key material there. And, like, later on, they did find more, like, fibers and all this shit that they were able to match. But it just really surprised me that that was the first indicator.
It's really crazy to see how differently, cases are handled, too. Like, you matched a fuzz from a fucking handcuff. Like,
yeah, that's very true. Like, to be fair, we are in the 2000s now, though.
Yeah, but it was, like, 2004, wasn't it?
Yeah, but this is a little bit after by the time they figure out who it is and, like, catch him.
Oh, okay.
But still, it's still not, like, it's crazy to think how far forensics came in, like, such a short amount of time.
Oh, yeah.
And with a warrant, the police were able to search his apartment. They found newspaper articles about the abductions and notes that described, like, possible locations where he stalked other victims. When police went to arrest Richard, it turned into a high-speed chase across multiple states. Richard killed himself before he was ever caught, but not before he called his sister to confess to many other murders that he committed. Unfortunately, the sister doesn't really remember all of them because there was just so much that he, like, unloaded at the time. And it just really sucks because we don't know what this guy was linked to at this point. And he's dead. Like, we have no idea. We'll probably never know if he was linked to the case or not.
And what a fucking wimp. Like, if you're gonna kill people, like, deal with the consequences. Fucking
yeah,
killing
bro,
yourself.
Commit. Fucking commit.
I hate serial killers so much. They're so, such pussies.
Oh my god, dude, I know. And, like, what's even more fucked up is police later found out that he had actually taken time off of work to commit the murders. And the girl who got away happened while his wife was away at Disneyland.
Ooh, man.
Isn't that fucked up? Like, his wife was at Disneyland and he was like, yep, time to fucking murder some teenagers.
Dude, I try to put myself in, like, the wife situation or, like, I don't know, the manager who told him he could have the time off. Like,
imagine
that. Like, that is so fucked up.
Dude, and, like, I think probably the most fucked up part about this is that he was such a friendly and, like, personable person, which we see with serial killers a lot. Like, they're people that could, like, get anybody to be their friend generally. His wife was so convinced that he was a friendly and good person that she stood by him even after his death.
Now I don't feel bad for her.
How the fuck are you gonna be like, yeah, my husband just, like, raped and murdered a literal child, but, like, it's cool, dude. He was a good guy.
Yeah, like, it's not like it was, oh, what if he did it? He literally confessed.
Yeah, like, he confessed to a shit ton of them to his sister. Like, it wasn't even just those ones that we talked about.
Yeah, I was sitting here being all like, oh, poor wife. No, fuck her.
No, bro, fuck his wife. Not literally, but, you know.
Well, it is Pride Month.
Oh my god, stop. So, like I said before, there's never been any definitive evidence linking Richard to the murder of Julie and Lolly, and many believe that this is what happened to the couple. If you'd actually like to read more about this theory, the book Trailed by Catherine Miles goes like super in depth into it. I have not read it. I do not have time to read outside of work and class, so you guys are gonna have to tell me how it is. But
so I guess I get why it would be considered a hate crime. They were, you know, lesbians and whatnot.
So that's actually what's pretty interesting about this case is, like, while it is the most, like, it's considered the most iconic hate crime that has happened, like, many remember this as the reason that they're actually afraid to go to national parks. But there isn't anything indicating that it is actually a hate crime. That's actually just a theory that the FBI immediately jumped on because they were a couple. And what is probably the most depressing part about it is that they were actually outed at their funeral.
Oh, wow.
So, like, I mean, their family knew, but they made it kind of public. Like, the media went ahead and just did that without really any permission or anything like that. And they really turned it into this, like, political statement that really maybe was never even there. We have no evidence of that, you know? Like, it really could have just been a random attack.
Well, Julie and Lolly deserved a lot better, and fuck you, Richard.
They certainly did, man. And I mean, I don't know if it was, if Richard really did this, because when I look at this theory...
Well, no, but fuck him, because he killed the three girls.
Oh, yeah, he's totally fucked up. Don't get me wrong. He's totally fucked up. But, like, what I'm saying is that his MO was always teenagers, and I mean, Julie and Lolly were... very much adults. They had, you know, one of them just graduated college, and, like, you know, they're doing shit with their lives. So it does seem a little weird to me that he would specifically attack teenagers and then go for one adult couple. But I don't know, man. I mean, sometimes that happens. Sometimes they do stray from their MO.
Yeah, I hate that it was never solved and, like, there's not more information, because there should be.
It does suck, and I mean, like all of our cases, if you or anyone knows anything about this case, please follow our FBI link below to report what you actually know. This case could still be solved if viewers like you spread the word and report what you know. It is anonymous, so... you know, there's no harm in it.
Absolutely.
So with that being said, don't be a creepy murderer, and we'll see you next time. Please, bye.
And don't name your kid Richard. Bye.
Bro, that's my brother's name.